members, let's start so that we finish much earlier than our program. We've got a lot of reading to do, taking the other entities which will be engaging of the next coming few days. When we break, it was the time for GCIS, I nearly say MDDA, because, you know, MDDA people are looking at me. So then I end up losing my campus, whether still GCIS or MDDA. Acting CEO, you may respond to the members' question.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, I'm going to respond to two. I think Harold is going to touch on the digitization aspect. But just to coming to the overstating and understating, members, I think we need to also be upfront to say if there's any group that is hard on itself, it's ourselves. Because I think the issue of targets in a communication environment is a bit of a challenge. You would then decide to say you want to have 10 media briefings. But at times, the environment dictates otherwise, and you find yourself having to do 20 media statements. So you would find that a lot of our targets are faced those challenges of over or under, because if the environment dictates that you don't do a media briefing, you will find yourself having to do something else, or either an MBIZO as opposed to a media statement. So you'll find those variances that are caused by that. But additionally, some of the challenges which we were quite happy that the Auditor General was picking up is the question of evidence. Because I think what we do find that in some other units, they will then report to say achieved. But when it is audit time, you'll find that there is no evidence. So what we have since done to correct that this year, anything that doesn't have an evidence, we don't put it as achieved. And that's another way of trying to manage the issue of over and under expenditure. We force a section, and I think that's why we even brought my colleague who is right at the back, who is the one who's responsible, because we put in a system, a software system which you were referring to, of the performance management system. It is a tool where we have tried to make it easier, because one of the things that make people to be reluctant to do, it's a system that is cumbersome, but the system that we have put in place enables them to upload from their own desks, and the performance monitoring unit is able to then monitor from their own floor. So I think that is being corrected. The third area that you were asking us around, how do we get it right in terms of achieving within the scope of limited resources? We've mastered the techniques of collaborating. I think we've learned very quickly that you can do more by collaborating. For instance, in communities, I think we've learned to collaborate with any government structures that are in that community. For instance, we do it very successfully with community police forums. We do a lot of work with municipalities in terms of outreach programs. So the collaboration has assisted us to maximize what we're able to do. And I think it's doing very well. In some cases, for instance, if we're not able to get a political principal at a national level, we've been able to negotiate with a local politician to say, can you come and talk to us? Whether it may be a member of parliament, but if we had planned an MBIZO at that particular district and the political principal that we were looking for is not there, if it is a member that is responsible for local government, for instance, we will then invite to say, come and talk to us around this particular issue. And in that way, we've been able to maximize. So you then find that even the venue that we would have paid for, who are able to negotiate with the municipality to say, can you borrow us your city hall, and we are able to do what we are expected to do. So I think, I don't know whether I've answered the area of how do we maximize what we've learned to do. And the other thing that I should also mention to members, you will note in our annual report, we've even done a restructuring within the organization. What we then did is that the areas where we were short and in terms of capacity, we then had to look within ourselves to say, how do we maximize with what we have? For instance, we've got journalists that were responsible for writing Vukuzenzele. We also have journalists that are writing the SA News. They were in different places. But what we then simply did is that, given that the public sector magazine journalists, they only write once. So what we then did, we grouped all the journalists into one pot so that they can then be able, once they finish their deadline on the Vukuzenzele, they can assist with the public sector magazine, or they can even assist with the stories. Those are some of the measures that we have put in place in maximizing what we have. The other way of that we have done, which I think we're also very happy about, on the supplier chain. Over the years, supplier chain has been surviving because of the volume of work that we had. But since we took on board the media bulk buying, they have had to deal with a lot of constraints in terms of capacity. What we then did, we kicked in our program of internship, and we were able to then negotiate with the young students who have done diplomas in procurement management, and they have come in to capacitate. And in a way, we've killed two birds with one stone, because how we've been able to deal with the transition when some of our clerks resign, we already have a pool of these young students who have come as intern, and they've come to learn in the process, the logis system, how it works. And the last question from my side is from Honorable Member Story, is around the targets that we have set in the first quarter. The targets that you are seeing there, Honorable Member, it's targets that we have set ourselves as GCIS. You're correct to say it's not a reflection of the government as a whole, but these are the targets that we had set. By hook or crook, we will do them, and this is what we have done. And I think when we compare ourselves to the last quarter, last year, of the rapid response, you will find that we've actually doubled the rapid response of monitoring news, because we have been monitoring the news ever since I've been in GCIS on a 24-hour basis. But where we have been failing is the response time. And the 77 to us is quite pleasing to say we have been able to do that. But the other numbers that you were talking about, the 28, these are opinion pieces that we write. And I'm sure some of you might have seen on New Age and the Pretoria News, but what we have even done is to be able to write to local newspapers to make sure that we are also having a presence on the work of government, because that's what basically we have been trying to do with the writing and the key messaging. The key messages has always been around the five priorities of government. What have we achieved in health? What have we achieved in transport? These are the messages that we have been crafting, and we've been sending them to our officials to use them in their various places. So that's about it, and then I think I'll give it over to Harold to talk to the other aspects.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Chairperson, in absentia, and honorable members. The the first one is the distribution of the Braille versions of Vukuzenzele. As I indicated earlier on, we work with Blind SA, and then they give us addresses and the quantities, for instance, of schools where there's a need for such distribution, and organizations that are in society. So our distribution is targeted as such. The reason why we're talking about some of them returning, so some of the addresses that we end up having, the material end up not being delivered because we post through the post office. So if not delivered, then the post office returns them back to us. So that's what makes us to review our printing element. While on that, I could also talk to the issue of what we've done is that on the material that we produce, especially the videos within GCIS, we have started to explore subtitles. For instance, if you go into the GCIS and government website, you will see that we've got messages that are done by the president on thematic month of some of the programs that we run. And we are starting to put subtitles so that we can be able to respond to those challenges. And on that, you would understand that, Honorable Member, what we're trying to do is that we have to make sure that we are correct and we have the necessary skills. So it has to be a pilot so that it can migrate into a fully fledged operation, so that we don't end up putting subtitles that might end up contradicting the speeches that have been put through. Moving to digitization, if I may explain what I was saying earlier on. We have over 1,500 hours of footage that is on tape that is sitting on GCIS. And that 1,500 of tape, we took a decision that this footage cannot be lost, because even tapes themselves, they've got a lifespan. We then decided that we must digitize this material. And to digitize this material, we went to industry. We established that we don't have anybody that can be able to give us the software that is required. We were then advised that go outside. Key to what we wanted was to say that as GCIS, when we get this software and this equipment, there must be skills transferred to the employees of the GCIS. Now, when I spoke earlier about the capacity, when this material has been bought and belongs to us, it is our material, it doesn't belong to anybody else. When it was delivered, they trained our official who is responsible for our library. He knows how to operate the system. The current challenge that we have is that as we have this backlog of 1,500, we also have footage that we shoot every day. And we are saying that when that footage comes in, we are not going to put it on tape. So the official that is there has got the pressure to take all of this tape and put it now into the system. But then it leaves a lot of backlog on the 1,500 hours. So what we're outsourcing right now, we're outsourcing a dedicated person who is going to come in and do the 1,500 hours on our behalf. Because part of the demand that we have is that in this particular administration, we have started the process of ensuring that the president has got a photographer and a videographer where he goes. The deputy president, a photographer, and a videographer, where he goes. And that type of demand, it makes it impossible for us to have personnel in the office that can be able to handle that. So it's at a go. Once they've gone somewhere to go and fill in, they come in, they give the tape to the librarian, they move into another one. If the librarian does not do that, they need that, because right now we're using a digitized system. It's not a normal tape. So this person needs to put it in, and they are reusable. So the material, they can't run on top of the material that we have not put into the system. Now, to buy the system, we bought the system at about 335,000, and that system is within GCIS. The person who's going to do the work of the 1,500 tape is the person that we are expecting that from the quotations we got, is going to cost us about 200,000. To get all of that material digitized and those tapes to be saved. So that process is what is going to take place. And that person is going to do it with our librarian to ensure that we've got the skills transfer that we require. We're not going to get that material and send it out of the organization. That material will belong to GCIS. The other small aspect is that part of the problem that we have is that we're trying to manage a situation where video footage, especially archival video footage, has become quite expensive. Now, if we were to have decided that we're not buying the system, we did our assessment, if we decided that we're not buying the system, we're taking the tips and we're taking it to somebody else, the likelihood is that we're going to end up with a situation where that material ends up somewhere, they dumped it somewhere, and they're selling it. And we're going to have serious problems. So we don't want to be told that that tape was empty. We want to make sure that all of that material and the intellectual property of government remains within GCIS. Thank you very much. I hope that clarifies it.
Thanks. That completes our presentation.
I don't know if you know whether we're still in the middle or at the end anyway. It's okay. Honorable Sir, I saw your hand going up.
No, thank you very much, Chair. On this software, are you saying you bought the software for 300,000+. Somebody will come in outsourced, will use the same software, but will be paying that person plus minus 200,000. It doesn't give any sense. Is there any other way you can do this? Because to me, I mean, is just not reasonable. You bought it 300,000, you bring somebody in with your own software, you're going to pay another 200 and something thousand. I mean, it doesn't give any sense.
CEO? Oh, just hold. Tambi?
Mine is on the financial.
Chairperson, to get that video footage to be digitized, it will take a 24-hour operation for a period of 6 months. And we did a calculation that if we were to hire a person, if we were to say let's hire a person to do this one, it was going to, we're going to end up with additional personnel that won't be able to, need to do that work. Thirdly, that we have established that the librarian that we have is sufficient to manage the tapes that we have. So if we go into industry and request the such an operation, that's the price range to find people with the skills that can be able to do that that type of work. And that is the challenge that we have. We've explored all of it. We've trained our people. We've got our people to try to do this work. It still takes forever. We're going to finish another financial year without completing this task.
That will conclude the question and the answer for the first quarter. Thank you very much, GCIS, for the responses. And again, acknowledge the overachievements, as members have been saying, and the challenges which you still need to deal with, and so on. But we can move to your annual report.
Chair, yeah, that's the one. Chairperson, if it is okay with the members, I won't go line by line with this report, but there are just a few issues that I wanted to highlight as a success story for GCIS in the past year. The first one, Chairperson, I think you will recall, I think a year ago or so, we came here and we reported that we are now deciding to do media buying in-house. And I think we wanted to emphasize, because I think it's a matter that has been misunderstood by the media. GCIS has been doing media buying on behalf of government departments from 1998. But I think the challenge that we have had over the years is lack of capacity in GCIS. And as a result, we were doing this function by outsourcing and going out on tender from 1998 up until 2009. And in 2009, we took a decision, because in all the tenders that we had been running, one of the requirements has always been provide in-house training to our staff. Because it has always been our view that media buying cannot, it doesn't make sense that you have a consultant to buy media in SABC or to have a consultant to buy media in the Star. And that is one of our success stories. In the past year, Chairperson, you will note in our report that we have bought space on behalf of department for 220 million. And as a result of doing it in-house, we've managed to save the state approximately 30.6 million. That's point one. The second achievement for us, which we've been grappling with over the years, is media transformation. Over the years, a lot of the media that we have been supporting via the MDDA, it has been a vicious cycle. They are supported, they are created, but they die because nobody actually assists them. And most of the media agencies that we were using they all the time say we can't procure space from some Pimville News because they are not in ABC. But as a result of our decision to do it in-house, we've been able to consciously say we are going to use the government money equally to the upcoming companies. And we are happy to say that in the past financial year, we've spent about, of this 220 that was spent, about 30 million went to the upcoming media media houses, the print, the electronic, and the radio. And I think we're quite proud with that success. The second success, Chairperson, that I thought that I should also highlight that is in our report, which I think the Auditor General was kind enough to also say, that we have received our unqualified audit, which is the fifth year running us receiving an unqualified audit report. But additionally, we've also been one of the few departments that have received a clean bill in as far as governance issues, that is human resource management, and the financial management and the audit committees of GCIS. That has been the one of the success. The other issue that I wanted to highlight, Chairperson, in our report is a conscious decision that we have taken to say what we disseminate to the public should equally be disseminated to the public servants in GCIS. Any campaign that we have been running, whether is it on women, whether is it on the transport system, we have a similar program for all our staff members, including the ladies who clean. If you speak to any GCIS official, even if is a cleaner, she knows exactly what is Smart ID, knows exactly what is the Transport Month all about, and we've invested a lot in making sure that what we send out to the public, we also equally send it to the public servants in GCIS, because we believe they are also an important messenger on the word of government. So what we do is that we make sure that they also spread the information on government. And overall, Chairperson, I think the report, if one is to go into the targets, I think our report has also spelled out out of the 111 planned targets, we've achieved about 77% of them. But I think I also have to highlight that part of the challenge also is that we are not able to achieve the 100%, because in some cases you will find that the budget constraints stifle. But in areas where we are able to maximize, that's how we have been able to do it. The rest, I think, Chairperson, is in the report. I don't know whether my colleagues would also want to highlight or emphasize a particular area in their programs. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll hear from them. thank you very much, Chairperson. I think in the same spirit, we're meeting at a time when there's an imbeza focus, which is public participation. So as a member of the public, I'm participating in Parliament today. Chairperson, if we were to look at some of the achievements, I will glance through them. Basically, to say that we continue to conduct research so that the work that we do can be able to be targeted, and we've got messages that can be able to respond directly to what people need. But also, we also identify through our own research which areas we need to emphasize on and which areas we need to improve, and also which ones we need to augment. The other thing is that, Chairperson, you would have noticed that we used to have a news agency that we used to call BUA News. We have revamped it to call it SA News with a view to be able to reach more of the public rather than becoming just a news agency for the media alone. You would know, Chairperson, that most of the media houses have moved into the space. Most of the newspapers now have got websites, they've got Twitter, they've got Facebook, and this trend is continuing. And as government, we can't sit back and say we don't come into that space. We also have to be able to do that. And we have seen quite a great uptake of heat from the public following that work also being being done. As the CEO has also said, we've leveraged our ad spend. We're trying to make sure that we work with all government departments so that we can be able to realize some of the achievements and some of the savings that can help us to be able to achieve more targets with less. Because the more we get discounts, the more we are able to get more spaces in the media, and we translate it back so that we can be able to augment the message of government and make it more frequent. If we move to some of the products that we produce, in this last year we had 1,226 language services requests. These include all sorts of projects and programs. We also have the South African yearbook, which we consistently produce, including the DVDs that we produce. We also have got a pocket guide, which mirrors the actual yearbook. We also produced 20 million copies of Vukuzenzele, and in total last year we had almost 5,000 of Braille copies. We also produced 170,000 copies of the public sector manager. GovComs, as I said, is a quarterly, so the number will vary with the PSM, even though it's in the PSM. We've also held seven public sector forums for that interaction to continue as we continue with them in this financial year. We've done that with the strategy for the 20 years of freedom. You would have noticed, Chairperson, that in most of our material that we have, including our presentation, we're using the 20 years of freedom logo. This is a country logo. We don't see it as a government logo, and through this portfolio committee, very soon I'm sure we'll see the Chairperson making a presentation with a 20-year logo on it. Also part of the key achievement, Chairperson, we have revamped the SA News website. We have also revamped the government website, even though it was not in this financial year. It was not in the last financial year. But we have enhanced it to make sure that we include quite a number of areas. That when we run a campaign, given the number of people that goes into it, the messages are there, the logos, the events that are taking place, so that it becomes a truly fully-fledged element. We do put pictures as well of the president, of activities by ministers, by government leaders. We put them on Flickr. We put them on Facebook. We do have a YouTube, which is Government ZA, which you can call it a government television channel in essence, but we are on YouTube, where you can we put our press conferences, activities by the president. We are also trying to market those elements using the social media, using your Facebook and Twitter. So that these videos that we put there, they don't go to waste. Many of us, the public, are able to, they are able to see them. As you know, we are also the custodians for the government website and the SouthAfrica.info website. We also produce newsletters so that we can assist government in its entirety to be able to have targeted message. We do have a newsletter called Insight that looks at the research trends, and we distribute them also within the industry, within government. Our media monitoring services, as the CEO has spoken about it, is in full swing. We try to provide daily media coverage. So we do have an operation which becomes the back room to the rapid response. It monitors the media in the middle of the night, throughout the night, and then we make sure that we alert everybody about the activities that take place, which is already information that is in the public domain. Coming to the various chairperson and honorable members, there's three areas that we did not achieve. And this one talks to the production of an annual report assessing the media landscape. We had decided as GCIS that we must have a media landscape report, a publication that assists the country, especially those in the media industry, to understand the environment, understand the media trends, and also encourage debate around media issues in the country. We had started that project in the last financial year, but we could not complete it. There's a simple reason to it is that, as the CEO has said, that we had to realign the organization, and the section that was producing this experience, capacity constraints. We also have capacity challenges in a sense that we exist for the entire government. So when government department says that, can we have the skill of the CEO in another department? We do deploy the CEO and say, no, the CEO, go and assist in that area. and that might create some of the challenges that we have. So that we did not achieve because of the capacity constraint of the unit that was managing this. A similar element which comes from the same section is also the producing of the 20 media assessment reports. We did produce six, but this is also the realignment of the organization happened in the middle of the financial year. So as a result, that unit that produces the media assessment reports, it was converted into government monitoring. And so it no longer was doing media analysis. So that media analysis function was taken. So at that point, they had produced six. So that particular competency had to suffer. And also they produced the 72 communication cluster reports. But then the reports, obviously also similarly to the capacity challenges. So this particular unit was left with a few officials, and given the demand of the work that they had to do, it could not achieve all of the areas. In the new financial year, this current financial year, we had to make decisions on how we're going to approach some of the elements, but we'll be able to report on them later. All I can say is that the media landscape book, we have completed it in this financial year. It's complete. We'll release it publicly very soon. The media assessment reports, we're now back at them. We're producing them. And then the cluster reports, we're also producing the cluster reports that will be able to assist it to cover the demand of the clusters themselves to be able to have an assessment of how they are doing with their own communication. Chairperson, that's program two. NIBO will take us through program three, in the spirit of public participation.
And working together. Okay. Thanks, Harold. Thanks, Chairperson. Just again going through to Program 3, I am going to talk briefly about some of the overachievements in our branch. And I think for us, the flagship was actually during the State of the Nation address. For the first time, there was the pre-SONA event. We were able to take the National Development Plan to the people. Working together with the National Planning Commission, we were able to take the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, and some of the commissioners. We brought them here in the Western Cape, and largely involving the school kids, because we believe that the future lies, you know, the youth is important and it's critical for them to actually understand the National Development Plan and to also be the co-creators and co-sharers of where this country wants to go. So we had a schools debates on the National Development Plan. But the other important thing about that was that we also had a radio phone-in talk show linking with the 65 community radio stations, which means that this event was also taken nationally. That was the pre-SONA. But for the SONA itself, it's on the night of SONA, we were able to coordinate 55 big screens events, and we also coordinated 22 tertiary institution panel discussions after the president delivered the speech. What was nice about this thing is some of the comments, and as part of doing that, we were able to gather comments from the people. And the beautiful part of it was that when the president delivered his reply, some of those comments were actually being used, which for us we thought was quite critical and important. And again, regarding SONA, for the first time last year, we had events of post-SONA events where we took the political principals to the communities to go and unpack SONA even further. And lastly, to all LSMs, what happened, we had actually a package, a suite of package. What happened is the political principals will, during the day, maybe meet with people to engage and tell them about what the SONA is, and then in the evening, they will actually have engagements with the higher LSMs, those people that are not generally, you know, participating in the IMBIZO, but we had the
town hall is in Mbizo with those people, and we also had some events where there were walkabouts, exhibitions, but I think the beautiful part of it is that would culminate in a community phone-in where the people will now, again, using 65 community radio stations, or in some cases here, using the local community radio stations to unpack also what the ministers had been doing throughout the day. The other important thing, Chairperson, was that last year we were able to coordinate more than 2,000 Izimbizo events for political principals. You remember in 2010, this administration decided that each and every minister is going to... We used to have Imbizo Focus Week. By the way, this week actually is one of the Imbizo Focus Week. But over and above that, we actually said each and every political principal must at least do a minimum of 10 events. And I mean, most of them took this so seriously that there are those that actually overachieved. So the total that we had was more than 2,000 such events. These also include the events of the Deputy President, the War on Poverty, as well as the President's Siyahlola. The other important thing that we did last year was that the Deputy President was able to engage with, led by the Deputy President, Cabinet was able to engage with SANEF, South African National Editors Forum, where we actually unpacked the National Development Plan, but as well as the presidential infrastructure projects. Those are some of the things that we did. The next slide, yeah. The other important thing in terms of the achievements was that we presented the National Communication Strategy to departments and provinces so that they can be able to align their own departmental communication strategy to the national communication strategy. But over and above that, we were able to develop the cluster communication strategy so that they can also align to the national communication strategy. This largely makes sure that we have proper streamlined messaging. We were also able to assist with the development of communication strategies. 37 such. Those include, for instance, the candidacy of Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma when she was appointed as the chair of the AU. We were able to help with the development of the communication strategy, but also the whole communication suite. The London 2012 Olympics, actually the chief director who was leading this cluster, she actually led communications, working together with sports recreation as well as Brand SA in London. She actually led the whole communications team with regard to that. We actively participated in the civil registration vital statistics campaign last year. Remember, the conference was held here in Durban. We did that. The national population register. But I guess one of the most critical ones, two of the most critical ones that we did was that during BRICS, one of the things that we had to do, we wanted to unpack what BRICS is and to make it simpler and easier to the communities. And all provinces held some BRICS workshop, and national ministers actually went there to unpack and to simplify BRICS to their people. And the best of them all was the AFCON. All our provincial offices in all the provinces actively participated in the AFCON so that we can promote it as a department. This slide talks about more than 3,000 events and activations and projects that were held, largely to support the five key priorities, but also to make sure that we promote the theme months. The BRICS roadshows are covered here. The AFCON is covered here, pre-SONA, but also the 365 days campaigns, because these are some of the things that we did, the child protection and youth, and the list goes on and on and on. And I guess I'm pleased to also indicate that we were able to reach more than 23 million South Africans. In terms of the messaging, issues that are the next slide that have got to do with the communications and the media environment. we were able to issue 93 media briefing statements. And just to make it clear, these are the statements that were generated and issued by GCIS, not supporting departments. These are the statements that went out in the name of the CEO. 93 such, you remember the Anine Boesens case as an example, or the issue of the initiation, or the meat issue. Remember, there was the meat issue. So these are all the statements that we were able to issue as GCIS. I mentioned the SANEF, but also for the first time last year, the Deputy President had a meeting with the Foreign Association correspondents. It was done for the first time. And also the Deputy President engaged with the Press Gallery Association. So these are some of the key critical things that we were able to do. In terms of the non-achievements, Chairperson, as I indicated when I was giving the quarterly report, to say the reporting on the Tucson Service Centers was one of the flaws last year. We were supposed to produce 680 reports, but we were only able to do 519 marketing reports. And the 161 largely was because of there were some centers that are non-functional, and members of this forum, the members do know that. So we felt that we were not going to go and promote something that is not working. And as such, that was why we have an under a variance. But the other one, the second one, is the internal communications forum. On this one, Chairperson, we were supposed to have had that forum last year, but because of the BRICS Roadshow and most of the people that were supposed to be part of that meeting were not going to be available in March, we had to postpone it to the following month. So this one largely was a diary management issue. That is my report, and I think Harold will go back to number room 4.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. This would be dealing with what we call the Communication Service Agency. As the CEO has indicated, one of our flagship that has become quite successful is our media buying. We have done in the last financial year had 200 media buying campaigns that are coming from different departments to the tune of 220.2 million. And as we said, we managed to get us about 30.5 million in discounts. We produced about over 3,300 products and services. This will be your leaflets, your posters that will come when we develop from ourselves and running the State of the Nation address campaigns, your national orders and so on, which also links to the earlier question that was asked, that we spoke about the national orders and we did not necessarily respond to that question. We did also have it printed in our own Vukuzenzele as we distributed in the communities, but because of lack of budget, we cannot always be able to put it in all the community newspapers. We also have photography that we do, that we provide pictures to the mainstream media, to our website and different platforms. We've handled about 327. Of the event and provided photography to them, 341 as well for video. We've also handled about 926 requests for photographs. These are official photographs that we took. If a particular department were to approach us and request a particular photo that we took at a particular event, these are the requests to make sure that they are logged on. We know where we have distributed such pictures, and also we've managed to handle about 333 video footage requests that we get from different government departments and institutions. We also have radio programs that we do via satellite. This is a live link-up that we do news bulletins on a daily basis, both at 12 o'clock and at 4 o'clock on a daily basis on topical issues that are in the environment. We provide that to those to many radio stations. We also have we had 205 radio programs. We also had 42 radio adverts that we produced for different campaigns, 395 electronic and print products, and also a video program that we produced ourselves. And we also outsourced satellite broadcast itself. In this area, we had committed that we would want to do about 52 television programs and 52 radio programs. These could not materialize entirely because of the financial constraints. To pull together a television advert became quite expensive. We're hoping to have partnerships, but they were not necessarily realized. I did report on the radio shows, because some of the radio community radio shows that we have, we offer such to departments, and it's up to them to do the uptake. But also, if they come to GCIS to come and make such a request for us to be able to assist them. And the last one is already the one that I had already explained. It came from the last financial year. So that's why we're pushing so hard that this financial year we get it out of the way, which is the digitization of footage. Thank you very much, Program One.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I think with Program One, which is the support service to the line function, in the year under review, we did quite well, and that was evident in the presentation by the Auditor General. I think the key achievement there was that we practiced sound financial management processes and procedures throughout the year, and then we were able to get an unqualified report from the Auditor General. And one of the things that we pride ourselves in is the staff that are in GCIS, and we make sure that we have regular engagements with them to ensure that there is inclusivity, and we make sure that whatever we do they are aware of, like the CEO has already indicated. And another flagship is that with regard to labor issues, we've got a labor peace in the organization, because we have a very, very effective departmental bargaining chamber, and we also have bilateral meetings with our labor movement on a regular basis. We consult with them, and everything that we do, it is in agreement with them. One of the things that we achieved last year was that we were able to complete our new head office. And like the CEO has indicated, I think it will be a pleasure for us if members can be able to come and see it. It's a state-of-the-art building, and it has got all the amenities of communication that you can think of. All other government departments are able to use that, and it was quite a momentous achievement that we moved from the city center into that area. We have complied fully with all pieces of legislations in terms of human resources management, strategic management, finance and supply chain management, and I think, like I've said, it was quite evident with the report of the Auditor General. Like I've indicated, the staff is our most valuable asset. We have developed staff through extensive training and coaching programs, and in that way we were able to retain them to a larger extent. Although we have human resources and financial constraints, our staff are put under pressure, like the CEO has indicated earlier on, and we make sure that we restructure, we realign, so that we can be able to achieve our goals. We have a very, very effective wellness program. We support staff 24/7, 365 days, and this program really is yielding results, because whenever they have problem and they are troubled, they are able to use the program. And one of our prides also is that we have a very, very effective IT infrastructure. Throughout the year, we were able to experience very minimal downtime. 95% of the time, we are fully effective. We don't have any problem with our IT system. Like I indicated earlier on, with regard to the monies, we have equipped the new head office almost 82%. The remaining areas are just small areas that we are going to equip to make sure that we are very effective, and we did take occupation of that building in May. 98.7% of our invoices as per regulation were paid within 30 days, to such an extent that even even Treasury had to come to us and say we should be able to advise other government departments as to how do we achieve that. All interim and audited annual financial statements were done according to the legislated deadlines, and I think we did very well in that. We introduced the e-recruitment system, and this helped us in making sure that we fill the post within a very short space of time. And throughout the year, we were able to maintain 95% of capacity in terms of filling the post and all that. With regard to human development, human resources development, I think like I indicated, almost 288 staff members were trained, and we made use of about 1.84% of compensation budget to train staff on that. And we also produced about 1,000 CDs of government communicators handbook, and we also had a academic symposium in partnership with Palama in order to develop an accredited communication certificate. And we can proudly say that although there were delays, as I will indicate in the underachievement, Palama, the service provider that we got, is going to hand over that certificate in this month, and then we will be able to continue with training. We have renewed all the Microsoft licenses that we have. In terms of project management, we have on the IT, we implemented two new systems, the enterprise project management as well as the online job application system. And all our audit processes, audit committees and reports were done on time. And like I've indicated, in terms of project management, we have supported major projects that were undertaken by government, e.g. BRICS and SONA, and I think with the support that we gave the line function, we were very, very successful in that. With regard to non-achievements, we were supposed to use project management methodology to make sure that the corporate services programs are projectized, but that could not happen because we gave external projects and campaigns priority. And this was mainly because of limited capacity. We decided that let's pay attention to the external ones. And we wanted to upgrade the media center in Cape Town, but unfortunately, because of lack of funds, we could not do that. And the training, the short-term training program for government communicators, which was supposed to be done, could not happen, but it's just because the bids, the process of bidding and getting a service provider was delayed a bit. But like I've indicated, this was achieved the previous month, and then we'll be getting that. Chairperson, if you allow me, going to the financial area, I think all the funds that were given to us in the previous year, we were able to spend them. And I'm not going to go through the expenditure per program. I will move to the last, to slide number 29, which gives you the grant total. The monies that were allocated to us, 460 million rand, we were able to make use of 86%. And I think the variance there was because of the payment of the invoices for the new building. We had to ask Treasury that Treasury must allow us to roll it over. And like I've indicated earlier on in the quarterly report, Treasury has agreed and an amount of 39 million has been given to us. So in essence, we made use of 100% of the money that was given to us. And our entity, which is the only one, which has a budget of about 20 million rand, we were able to transfer it successfully. And before we did that, meetings were held and discussions about the progress and everything was indicated before we could do the transfer. And in conclusion, Chairperson and honorable members, I think one of the things that we pride ourselves with is that we had that unqualified audit report. And we didn't incur or experience any undesirable expenditure situations like irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, or fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That is what was evident in the report of the Auditor General. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Tiandla. Honorable Mthambi, Kilen, Honorable Steyn, Honorable Gekane, in that order. If you can switch off your mic, please. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Will you allow me to start from the back of the report presentation going?
Back front, it doesn't matter. As long as you finally get it, it's okay. You can proceed.
I'm interested in slide number 31. Yeah, the AG's report.
Yeah.
I would like to comment them for what they've just raised, that is, it's not irregular, no unauthorized expenditure, no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But can I take you to pages 97 to 98 of the annual report? I think we need to be given clarity with regard to the progress on item number 8 of the AG's report, read with a reference note 17. Also, we need to be given a progress report on item number 20. I don't think it's 21, it should be 21. Human resource management and compensation. You remember there's this thing to say certain employees were appointed without following proper process to verify the claims made in their application, in contravention of public service regulation number one. So I think it's page 98. It's supposed to be 21. I think there's a typing error. You know, on a human resource management and composition, you can see that one. Can we be given the progress that the department has made thus far in ensuring that, because here there is misconduct when you look at it. I want to understand the progress, how was the matter addressed and attended to. And then also, I think on item number 24, investigations, you see, the last finding, but its findings are still being interrogated by both parties. You look at the time when in the AG presented this annual report to you. It was on the 31st of July. Today we are on the 8th of October. Definitely there has to be progress. It can't be that just that parties are still interrogating. I think, can you update us on the status quo of your report? And then this one, I'm asking it on behalf of Honorable Kekan, because he asked me whether you addressed the issues of capacity and skills when he left. And our understanding is that it's 20 years down the line. Yeah? We've been in this democracy. We are at implementation phase. I'm very much concerned if we are still raising capacity problems, skills challenges. I start to have serious problems today. What have you been doing over the past years? Because if I'm to go back, but in particular, Harold, program 2 on slide number... on land achievement, it's page 7 of the presentation. You set yourself targets to say you're going to do 1, 2, 3, but I see organizational streamlining, whatever. But now, those are the reasons for the variance. But you said then, later on, as you were presenting, you said you made decisions. So at the end, but after the end of the financial year, on what needs to be done. Now the question I'm raising is in particular because all the issues that you are raising on non-adjustment, it's always capacity, resources, lack of resources. Man, the question is that why those achievements were not done there? Because even that you said yourself again, to say this is what we're going to achieve, and then knowingly that resources is a challenge, we're all well away. But now, don't you see it's time when you know that you don't have resources, then you don't set targets knowingly? Because how do you set targets knowingly that you don't have resources and then you still set them? Oh, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, because now, that's why I'm coming here to say now, this issue of capacity and funding, it just become an issue. And I think you need to take us on board so that you understand what you actually mean by all these things. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Killian.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to come in on basically some elements of the same problem that I have identified.
Which side are you coming from, back or front?
Chair, I will be jumping from back to front and to other documents, etc. So I think we must just prepare for a roller coaster. Chairperson, first of all, I just want to come in on the documentation, the presentation made to us, and specifically on slide must be 21, well, it's on page 11. It is on Communication Service Agency, the non-achievement. I just want to preface what I'm going to say, Chair, and I really want the department to understand that we acknowledge the achievement. We certainly acknowledge the achievement. But we also want to identify some recurring problems. And I think that is from that basis that the department must understand that we're working from. First of all, I find it also an issue of lack of financial and human resources, probably also a capacity issue, that there was no radio shows produced. The target was set at 52 radio shows, but no radio shows were produced. So it is quite a sort of a serious deficiency that clearly there was lack of capacity or something. Secondly, it's obviously the digitization, and I find it unacceptable, essentially, that this problem with the digitization was actually dragged into the first quarter of this year as well. So I just wanted to put that up as a serious concern. But, Chair, then I want to come to the second slide on the same page, and that is on Program 1 Administration. And I want to make a submission that I want to state, also on page 11 of the presentation documents, the slide below. Chair, I do not believe it is correct as reflected here, overview of achievements. I want to come to the bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, compliance with relevant legislation, human resource strategic management, finance and supply chain management. I think that is not correct. In fact, I want to proceed by saying this does not link up with what the Auditor General has found. And I want to come and just report on page 97 and 98 of the Auditor General report. They actually highlighted serious problems. But what worries me more, Chair, I want to move through on page 98 of the Auditor General's report. Do you realize that paragraph number 20 virtually reads exactly the same on annual financial statements as it read last year? That's the first thing. There's just one addition here. They were not fully prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework as required by Section 41A of the PFMA. Now, clearly, you cannot have that in the AG's report, and then we say the department has complied with the relevant legislation. There were some deficiencies, and what they say about a person who is battling with alcoholism or with whatever, you know, weakness, first you must admit that you have a problem. And I think that is a weakness. And I really want to say that. I want to move to paragraph internal control. Well,
basically also human resource management and compensation, internal control, paragraph 21. It's exactly the same as last year. Leadership. The Auditor General found the same. The Auditor General said last year the key management did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility regarding financial and predetermined objective reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. It's exactly the same. Financial and performance management, exactly the same. Inadequate monitoring by supervisors resulted in material misstatements in the financial statements, report on predetermined objectives, and non-compliance with laws and regulations. It's exactly word for word the same. Investigations, there's just one addition this year, and this is the fact that the investigations confirmed that no procurement and approval processes were followed. Again, how can we say that there's adequate supply chain management and compliance with the laws and regulations if that is what the Auditor General has found? So, notwithstanding very good things that have been done, and I really must compliment the department on content and programs and, you know, interventions, etc. But unfortunately, it is so critical that you get the systems in place so that you can tighten. And I want to come to the issue, Chairperson, of performance management. I want to know on what basis can the department make payment of performance bonuses if there's no efficient performance management system. And that links to additional training of staff, etc. It's all part of a complete process of efficient HR management. So yes, capacity problems. Well, one of the issues that is very disconcerting is the fact that human resource people have applied, and there was no following. There was no proper process to verify the claims made in their application. Now that means you have applicants who are appointed. Once you have them appointed, it's extremely difficult to manage them out of the system. And that, Chairperson, that then brings me to unfunded posts, which is, and I don't want to go into the detail of the report because the HR report is actually very interesting and very informative, but we can go on with that for quite long. The concern that I'm having is very often departments such as yours and like the SABC find themselves with a huge salary bill, but the skills and the output required by the individuals to occupy positions, there's a mismatch, and that is part of the problem. How do you manage people out once they have been appointed, and even if they have been appointed based on fraudulent presentation of CVs? So I think these weaknesses really point to the need to sharpen administration controls, internal controls, financial management, performance management. All of that links, Chairperson. And I would like to urge a very serious effort on the side of the department to look at those critical issues going forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable State.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will attempt to not repeat what has been said, so I'm going to start at the beginning. One of your achievements has been 513 marketing events for 2016.
That's at the beginning.
I'm starting at the beginning, Chair. Page
12, okay.
If you want to follow page 12 of the annual report, and I'm only going to refer to the report and not the presentation.
Okay. It doesn't matter that back or front. Okay.
No. At the beginning, I want to bring some structure to the meeting.
Okay.
530 marketing events to the Tucson centers. Now, you will have heard us in our debates on Tucson centers regarding the oversight that we did. And by and large, it's not a good report. Now, you've done 530 marketing events, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not too sure now of the actual number that does exist. My question really is, if you've done so many marketing events, do you in fact do some sort of exercise about the services that are delivered, that are actually delivered when you market a Tucson center, so that You don't put out leaflets and all sorts of marketing information, and the community goes out there and they find a Tucson center that's locked up, or they have to call somebody to come and open up, or there simply aren't the services that they require. Linked to that question is it a sort of a generic type of marketing strategy that you use, or is it targeted specifically to the individual Tucson center that you do market? Then, and I'm going to jump to page 30. And I want to acknowledge what some of my colleagues have said and what we said earlier regarding your overachievements. But equally, we have to touch on your underachievements. And some of them that I'm going to touch on, I would imagine would be quite easily achievable. I mean, the first one I'm looking at here is your 12 electronic newsletters. Now, for the GCIS to not be able to put out an electronic newsletter is almost an indictment. I mean, it's probably the easiest of the lot and the cheapest to reach as many people as possible. So I do not understand that you only met your target by six off on something that is easily achievable. Similarly with the one following immediately below that, the South African government online visual update postponed. Perhaps you can give us an indication why that has been postponed. Then, if we go to the page 31, the one immediately following, and it was reported both in your first quarter report as well as in your annual report, that you've done some you've made great strides in terms of your social media, etc. And yet it says here a structured approach to social media was not developed. And I must tell you, while we were talking and I was listening to you, I actually thought it's a good idea if I join GCIS, their Facebook page. I cannot find it. I can find individual provincial Facebook pages, but I cannot find GCIS Facebook. So I don't know if there is a flaw from GCIS, or it can't be my telephone here. Similarly, on page 34, 10 newsletters were not distributed. I'm assuming when you say a newsletter I suppose I can't assume whether this is print or electronic. But again, it's, you know, out of 12 newsletters, 10 were not distributed. It's again what I deem to be an easily achievable target that you have not achieved. And I can go on to page 35, for example, 14 assessment reports not produced. Out of 20, 141 rapid response reports not compiled out of 192, and so on and so on. Let me carry on, Chairperson, to page... I want to go to page 63, which deals with HR. And in particular, your job evaluations. And it links up to performance bonuses and things like that. If one looks there, out of 506 established positions, posts, only 11 were evaluated. That's a rather low percentage in order to make, I suppose, an assessment about whether posts should be upgraded or individuals should be upgraded or bonuses should be paid out and that type of thing. I just find it strange that so few posts were evaluated. And then to compound it, it's primarily on the highly skilled production levels between 6 and 12. I mean, 10 out of the 11 were at that particular level. One would like to see, obviously, more evaluations on the lower skilled levels and others so that people can be promoted, hopefully, from the lower skills into upper skilled posts. Then, on 77 and 78, I'm a bit concerned about the sick leave here. And again, it's those two categories of level 6 to 12 of your highly skilled positions. If you look at the numbers, number of employees using sick leave, or rather the days, let's rather go percentage of total employees, 39% of your highly skilled production level 6 to 8 and 40% of levels 9 to 12. senior management, 11%. There appears to be something. I got the impression that reading through your document and the wellness programs you provide and so on, that people were pretty happy there, and I suppose being in the new building, more so. So this may very well reflect to the old building, which I have seen, which I can perhaps concede would make people sick. But don't take that as the answer that you're going to give to me, even though it's a suggestion there. We were fortunate to go and look at the old building. We haven't seen the new one yet. Now, that brings me now to your annual leave as well. The average per employee of your, again, those two levels, 6 to 12 of your highly skilled, is 144 days per employee for the one and 143 for the others. The other one compared to 9, 17, and 36 for the other levels. Now, there's a huge discrepancy here between those levels, both in terms of sick leave and annual leave, and the others. And I just for the life of me cannot see why. My colleagues have touched on the suspension, so I'm not going to talk about that. I think that is probably, it links to another question that I had in terms of your contingent liability, I assume. No, I mustn't assume. Perhaps you can explain to us what the contingent liability is for on page 146. And then lastly, Chair, the staff debt and claims from national and provincial departments on page 128. If you can tell us what you're doing about that to actually recover that money. It doesn't explain, you referred to Annexure 3, and it doesn't explain the staff debt, for example. It explains the national and provincial departments' debts, but it doesn't explain the staff debt. So if you could perhaps just give us an indication of what that is, and like I said, what steps are being taken to recover that money. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Petang.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just to ask, when I listen to GCIS, I realize indeed they have made an effort and they've put in a lot of work into their institution and resources, money. But what I want to ask is, in the sum total of things, if you add everything together, do you think we're getting the effect that is desired? Because, for example, print media would portray and set the agenda, you read Sunday Times or City Press over the weekend. If there's something that's sparked there, then it's going to be discussed the whole week. Now, government is supposed to be there also saying all these good things that we're doing. And indeed, so much good has been done, in spite whatever. But, I mean, we can proudly say so much good has been done. But I'm surprised it doesn't reflect that way. The day there's a march or a demonstration in the street in Tlokwe, then every focus is just there. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we are a society that likes to hear about bad things and not good things. But can you just, ultimately the question is, how do you think, besides all the performance systems that are everything, how do we measure the impact that we are having ultimately into our society? Because indeed, I just think we are superseded, we are overridden by print media. It gets more head, it has more loud voice than what we also communicate into the public. In fact, I think there are so much that we hardly heard by our public. Okay, Chair, do you want me to continue speaking?
No, you didn't say you are done, you just kept quiet. So I thought you are still continuing.
No, thanks. I know you like my voice.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Honorable Tekane. See you.
Thank you very much, members. I'm sure my colleagues are going to assist me.
Don't follow the member. See, they are not, some of them, they take a long route to ask questions.
Yeah.
Just respond direct. Don't follow
them.
It's a bad example.
Chairperson, with your permission, can I start with the last one? I think Honorable Kekana is raising a very relevant question in as far as whether we're winning the battle or not. Unfortunately, yes, we do have a media that follows what will be sensational in their own space. However, if you were to ask me, Honorable Member, whether we are making an impact, my answer would be yes, we are. Precisely because we have decided that we don't want government information to be judged on what is in the Star or what is in the Sunday Times. What we do is that we are unapologetically investing in community media because we are saying these are platforms where our people go out there and read what is in their papers, whether in Venda, whether in Shangane. We make sure that we invest in those platforms. But secondly, what we do, Honorable Member, is that we invest in face-to-face communication because we are also acknowledging that it may never be possible for somebody in Gwavuma to get hold of a Star. But in any case, even if the person gets hold of a Star, she may not necessarily get hold of what government wants to say to that person in the Northern Natal about the programs that affect them in that particular area. So I think if you were to say, how do we judge ourselves? We judge ourselves by going directly to the communities and talking to them and producing material, which my colleague Harold was talking about, that we have invested a lot in putting it in the languages that people are understanding. And I think Harold is correct to say we're investing more in producing material for people with disabilities because we are also acknowledging that they are not covered by the mainstream media. How we assess our impact, what we may not have been able to share with you is that each and every campaign that we do, we follow it up with research. I think there's quite a lot of material, and I was sharing with the member to say the research that we've done for the Heritage Month. It's fascinating stuff, what the communities have been saying about the Heritage Month, the material that we have sent out there. So yes, in short, we are doing communication with other platforms, not necessarily with the mainstream media. So that's the question. And if I can just take in some of the other questions and which my colleagues will also share on the governance statement. Honorable Member, I want to slightly differ with your understanding of the statements that are in the financial report. The challenge that we have is that Auditor General has got a template where they report. But if you get down to what exactly was the issue in the previous year and what has been the issue in this current year, they differ. For instance, last year, yes, under that misstatement, the statements were miscorrect. We even acknowledged ourselves because what we have sought to do is to invest in building capacity within. For instance, for a long time, we only had one person who was compiling our financial statements. And one of the questions that we've been asking is that what happens if this person is knocked by a car? Shouldn't we begin to invest in everybody in finance knowing how to prepare the financial statements? And last year was the first time we did that. And we were quite proud with a person who for the first time was putting together financial statement who is not necessarily responsible. And the mistakes that were picked up by Auditor General were not material to a point of them rejecting our statement. They noted, for instance, some of the alignment, some of the figures were not actually stated correctly, and we accepted that. This year, it's a different misstatement, and I think we can even explain it. What has been happening over the years with financial statement, because government has been operating on what they call modified cash basis of accounting. Now, what they have tried to do over the years to prepare government departments is to say, under your notes, have your commitments. But what we've been doing is that we are compiling all the commitments in one, under one heading. But what they have sought to do now is to say you need to begin to separate the orders that you have placed where the delivery hasn't happened and those areas where the services have been done but the invoices have not come. Try and separate them and put them as accruals. And also the other ones, you put them as commitment. Previously, we used to combine both of them. But what they are saying is that the whole reporting system in government has matured. So we need to begin to start moving ahead, which is how normally it should have been done from the beginning. But because there was never even a culture from the beginning of having an accrual system, because government has always operated on a cash basis, so that's the material misstatements that were. What is unfortunate with the auditing is that they will not prepare you to say next year we are going to demand you to break it. They then come and then they decide to say, no, now you have to break it. And that was the breaking that we have had to do. So it is a different finding compared to the last year's finding, but it is under that subheading of a financial misstatement. The performance management system, honorable members, I think we can assure you the bonuses that we award our staff. They, in fact, they are so aggrieved that we are so hard on them. It's because we insist that if in your performance agreement it's not clear what you were meant to do, we will not award you. The ones that you are finding here, trust us, they deserve it. Because I think what we try and do is that you don't want to be punishing people. Those who deserve it, I think they need to be given that. Capacity constraints, honorable members, I think capacity constraints will always be with us for a very long time in government. And what is even worse, we've been told by National Treasury that we are going to be experiencing cuts for the next 3 years. What then it means is that we need to make do with what we have. For instance, this year, I think they've cut our budget by about 2 million, 3 million. Next year, it's about 3, but it goes in the outer year to 8. So honorable member, we will always have capacity constraints. The question that you were asking is, why do we still continue doing more than what we are expected to do? The unfortunate thing is that we are still expected to do what we are hired to do, to communicate. But yes, I think people are beginning to feel the strain. It's hard, and we might seriously have to consider to scaling down. I don't think it helps us because, for instance, the newsletter that you put in, you were mentioning, there were all good intentions to do it. But what we then had to deal with is the fact that Treasury says you are not getting people. We had actually made a request for additional capacity because we were hoping we were going to invest more in more radio programs, more in some of the publications, because I think the idea of the more you produce, the more you are able to reach. And I think it came as a result of one study that was done in India, and where I think it was established the amount of production that is made by the state to communities, it's actually in nowhere compared to what GCIS produces. So we had all the good intentions of having these radio programs, of having these newsletters. Unfortunately, we didn't get the budget for it. You're correct, we might have to offload them, given that in the next 3 years we're not going to get any additional money. But it's not something that we would be saying we are proud of it. But I think it's something that was beyond our control. I'm going to ask Kitu to talk to some of the specific, the human resource note 21 and note 17, and then Harold is also going to talk to the other aspects, if it's fine with you. Kitu?
Thanks very much, CEO and honorable members. I think right from the beginning with regard to the one on claims made by applicants, I think before I can even explain, I must admit that we have learned the hard way and we have put measures in place that no appointment will be made before But I would like to take this opportunity to give a background as to how we have been approaching it. We advertise the post. People apply with CVs and qualifications and everything certified. And because we had a challenge with SAQA taking a longer time to can come back to us to say we verify, we always made the recommendation to say let's appoint the person, but the process will still happen. And I take your point that we would find it difficult to undo the appointment after that. Unfortunately, we have not had that situation, but we were trying to have a shorter turnaround time of filling a post, and that is why we maintained the 95% throughout the year. And when the auditors came, that's when we were still waiting for the SAQA response, and it was one or two cases which they picked up. But the rest were subsequently done, and then it's just that we put the cart before the horse. And we have agreed as management and with the CEO that since this was, we were red carded on this one, we better wait for 4 months until SAQA comes, and then we do it, and we have already implemented that. I think that is where that is the background that I can give. And then with regard to page 63, where the Honourable Member spoke about the job evaluation, I don't know whether I got you clear very clearly, Honourable Member. The issue that is discussed on page 63 is the evaluation of the post, not the performance management assessment. We are not assessing the performance of the person there. The statistics that are given there, that is why you see only 11. It's for the posts that were evaluated, the jobs that were evaluated. And how job evaluation happens is when we create a new post, we must evaluate the job. And when a person is in a post, like the CEO was indicating, that people are overworked and the like, sometimes people come and say, but I'm doing a lot of work other than what I've been doing. I'm requesting that my job be evaluated. And those are the two instances in which we evaluate the jobs in this. And that is why you see that small number, because it is done on request and when we create a position. And then on page 77, where we speak about sick leave and the annual leave, the statistics that show there are generated by the system, and it's to give a breakdown as to how sick leave is utilized in the organization as per salary band. And you will see that it gives you, for that period of 12 months, it gives you per salary level, per salary band, how many days were taken in total, and then how many people use them, and the percentage, and the like. Just an indication to say, when you evaluate, when you interpret the sick leave, you will be able to know at which level is it highly used, and the like. And people have got 36 days per 3 years to use sick leave. And some of them, depending on their health condition and the like, they use these days even within the first year. They have already used the whole cycle. We even have to go to incapacity and the like, incapacity leave by pillar. The same applies to annual leave. Our annual leave, you have a number of days per year, but you are allowed to use them within 18 months. So the days will overlap even to the next year. You can't even use it in the same year. So it depends on how you structure your leave and the like, and they will always be. And then this is the report that we get from the system itself to say, when you monitor this, you can be able to see how it goes. I wonder if I have left anything to you.
The staff debt is just the bursaries. If a person hasn't completed the studies, he has to pay it back, and also the private calls. I think we deduct it from their salaries after having consulted with the official consent. Thanks.
Thank you very much. If I were to make a general point that was also made by the CEO earlier, when we craft our strategic plan, it's with the intention to do specific things as an organization with everything being equal, making the assumption that the environment would not necessarily demand that we shift some of the targets to be able to attend to the demands in the environment. So if we had said that we're going to produce television programs, and the president's program for as an example, or the demand on the video unit to be able to be in different places to cover, that would dictate the environment for the year. That is why in some areas, I said earlier when we were presenting, to say that we intend to do a particular number of outcomes, but then we end up going over as a result of the request. That means the demand on our work goes high. Now, when that happens, some of these programs might not be able to achieve. Also, understanding that communication is a dynamic environment. Being in a dynamic environment, we are sitting here right now. We might, when we get out, the staff say, no, this is what has been briefed in. We need to go and do this. Some of the things we have to pack them aside according to priority. It's similarly to responding to things that are raised in the environment that honorable member said that the media, they end up running in the media over a period of time and so on. In some cases, some of these, we have to take up those and not be able to achieve some of the targets that we set ourselves. You also asked the question about social media. Honorable member, our main aim is to go and sell government information, not necessarily GCIS. So if you want to go into the Facebook, go into the SA government Facebook page. Then you will find government information, because for us it's about interacting, providing information to the public rather than about the organization. That's why we have under marketing, we have an aspect that talks to our corporate interaction. SA News has got its own Facebook page. Twitter, if you go to a public sector forum, it's got its Twitter page. SA government Twitter page, Twitter account. So it's based on what is the content that will come in the funnel that we want to make sure that we channel out to the public. On the website, the issue that you raised about the website, about what we had postponed, for us, we work through CETA. And if we want to improve our website, we brief it into CETA. We will anticipate that we'll do it in this financial year, but it depends also on CETA's capacity to be able to deliver on that mandate. We had said that we're going to review our website and get it running in the last financial year, but we only got it up and running this financial year. So those are some of the things that leads us to be able to not to be able to meet some of the targets. And then there was also a question that was raised about skills development. We have a training unit. We try to create capacity, but of utmost importance for us, remember, we work as a system. So in some cases, we find that in some of the departments, if they are requesting us to provide them with a media liaison officer or a designer, for us, we are inculcating a particular culture of consistency that we require. So we will always be a training ground, skills development in other departments and so on. And that is why we exist. And we pride ourselves with that, and we keep tap of that particular element. I thought I should make those general points. Thanks, Sean.
Two songs, yes. Just to indicate, honorable member, that remember last, we actually indicated that some of the marketings were not done because of the centers that we decided they needed to be delisted. So our marketing is very, very targeted. The people that are at Matamo, they will make sure that they market the services of the Tusong at Matamo, because they are locally based. They know what is working. They know when is Home Affairs coming. They know when is SASA coming and the like. So it's actually very targeted marketing. But I must also say that on two occasions, we also had a national community radio show talking about the program generally, and we actually indicated there will be a center in your area, and we did also indicate that some of them are problematic and the like. So, but generally, all the time, in all cases, they are locally based promotions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm told that you are like a cameraman who take photos, but nobody cares to take his or her photo. That's what you do. It's GCIS. You make sure everyone else communicate, but... Okay. Thanks very much. Those were the responses to members' questions, and that concludes the annual report for GCIS. We can break for tea for 5 minutes or so, and then we'll come back and take MDDA annual report. Thanks very much, Acting CEO and your team, on your clean bill of health in terms of the aging. And your responses to questions. We are done with you today. Thank you. Malibongwe. You must sustain it as moving forward. Thank you.
Yeah.